Today's reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verses 19 through 34. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed in the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak, so they called his name Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of the red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, thank you that you are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I thank you that your promise is just as true now as it was to Abraham all those centuries ago. And so we pray that you'd help us to trust you, help us to listen now, and help us to praise your name. Amen. This morning we're thinking about God's great gift. I thought it'd be good if we could give a gift out as well whilst we're here. This morning, in honour of the Frauenlauf, a few people are running in the Frauenlauf this morning on Muttertag, we are going to crown LEC's best runner. Woo! Any running fans here? Yeah, no, me neither. A couple of running fans. Running fans, one or two. You know, I've been doing some research. There are lots of candidates. I know actually there are more fans of running than just three or four of you. Actually, maybe they're all running this morning. A couple of folk I know get up at 5 o'clock every morning to go running. Not my bag. Really not my thing. Sometimes I get photos of people mid-run. Sometimes I get voice notes from Larry whilst he is on a run telling me to pray for something. People run to work, people run whilst they're on holiday. LEC even has its own running club. But there is only one person that I think really deserves it. Arma, where are you? There he is. Can you bring him forwards? He's sleeping. Oh, no. Little Peppo is sleeping. Tell us, Arma, what is Peppo like as a runner?
He doesn't run.
What do you mean he doesn't run?
He's a baby. He just learned to crawl.
I still think we're going to crown him as our best runner. Can you come forward and collect it on his behalf? A round of applause. To certify. Comes from good stock. It's to certify that Peppo is the best runner.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And he's also going to need a bit of sustenance to keep him going.
I'll make sure he never gets there.
For those who don't know, Peppo is very, very small still. He didn't do anything to deserve it, did he? He hasn't done any training. He can't even walk yet. This morning, we're thinking about being given what we don't deserve. We meet a family in our reading in the Bible today who are given what they don't deserve. Wonderful promises from God. They don't do anything to deserve them. God gives grace. First of all, we meet Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac is a 40-year-old man. Let's say he's about my age. He is 40 when he gets married, and he marries this lady called Rebecca, but they can't have children. Sometimes God gives children, sometimes he doesn't. Some of us wait a long, long time. Some of us don't get children. Isaac and Rebecca had years and years of childlessness, and it made them sad. Have a look down, if you have a Bible with you, at verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And they waited year after year. Their 10th anniversary came and went, and no babies came. 15th anniversary, 16th, 17th, 18 years, 19 years, until 20 years later, we get the second part of verse 21. The Lord granted Isaac's prayer, and Rebecca conceived. She had a baby. Take good care of him. Thank you. Perfect. They weren't entitled to have children. Children are always a gift. Life is never deserved. Each breath we have is unearned. Undeserved gift from the God who gives grace. Now, Isaac and Rebecca actually weren't just going to have one baby, though. They were going to have another one. Can you take good care of the baby? Perfect. Thank you. Wonderful. God gives grace, doesn't he? He gives us what we don't deserve. Put your hands up if you have a brother or a sister. Put your hands up if you have always been kind to your brother or your sister. It's good to know you're in good company, isn't it? These two babies were twins, and they were literally born fighting. They fought even before they were born. God said that is because he would give grace. He would give his promise to the younger brother. Have a look down at the end of verse 23. The older brother shall serve the younger. If you're an older sibling, maybe you can see how unfair this is. Why does he get it and not me? That is not on. If you're a younger brother like I am, then you'll know this is totally right. Of course the older should serve the younger. The reality is, though, neither of them deserve it. Neither of them deserve God's promise. Neither of them deserves God's grace. But God gives it anyway. They are literally fighting the day they were born, the day before they were born. You don't need to teach us to fight. We know how to do it very naturally. We might be better at it. Some might be better at it than others. You don't need to teach us to sin, do you? It just comes to us. Do you know what these babies were called? Did anyone hear what they were called? Jacob and Esau. Perfect. The older boy was really hairy when he was born, and Esau sounds a bit like hairy in Hebrew. Might be like calling a child Harry. A hairy baby Harry. No offense to any Harrys out there. The other baby is called Jacob. Jacob means he grasps or he cheats. He snatches. He takes what isn't his. He was literally born grabbing hold of his brother's heel. trying to take what isn't his. And grown-ups, we're going to see more of what he is like over the coming weeks. He doesn't deserve it, and yet God gives grace. Yeah, as a church, we're looking for a new building to meet in over the coming months, and it's really easy, I find, to feel entitled to things. To think, well, they should give us preferential treatment or preferential rates, but we don't deserve it. And yet, whatever happens, we know that God gives grace. God is faithful to his promise. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead, he gives grace. The New Testament picks this up. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 9, he says that God gives grace not because of anything that we do. It's before they're even born that God gives his promise to Jacob. And speaking about God choosing Jacob over Esau, he writes, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good nor bad, it was in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. God gives grace because he is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. You see, unlike my gift to Peppo, God's grace is freely his to give. He really can give it to whoever he wants because none of us deserve it. He doesn't have to give it, but he does. And because God gave grace to Jacob, he was the great, 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 I don't know how many to the power that would be. He is the great grandfather of Jesus. I'm not entirely certain, but I do wonder if that's why it says that Rebecca loves Jacob. Because she knew that God's promise would come through him. God gives us what we don't deserve. God gives us grace. We didn't earn it, and we wouldn't choose it, but God gives it. Ultimately, grace through Jesus Christ, mercy and forgiveness, a washing and a new start, eternal life and a place in his kingdom, righteousness and everlasting joy. God gives grace. If you're a Christian here this morning, then that is not because you deserve it, but because God is very, very kind. In fact, the Bible says that we are by nature objects of wrath. It is by grace that you have been saved. There is no favoritism with God, but there is mercy and there is grace, because God gives grace. He gave it to the younger brother when Jacob doesn't deserve it. And in a few moments, we're going to see how they respond to God's grace, to the God who gives. First of all, though, we're going to sing. We're going to sing of the wonderful grace of God. He gives us what we don't deserve. Like Jacob, Christians are those who are loved before the dawn of time. And so we sing salvation song. Excellent. Jacob, or rather Esau, doesn't think very much of that, does he? He doesn't think God's promises are worth keeping. We're going to play a game. I need a volunteer. Ooh. I think that was the fastest finger. Yeah. Okay. Come on then. You sit down. We're going to play a game of deal or no deal. Oh, hold on. Sorry, my bad. So the rules are, I have four boxes here. Four boxes, and there are four prizes. You can only keep one of them. And you are going to need to choose wisely. So you can open a box, and then you can decide if you're going to keep that one, or if you're going to swap it for another box. Yeah, got the rules? Wait. Understand? Are you ready to play deal or no deal? Yeah. Okay. Which flocks are we going to go for first? Number three. Okay, you come sit down. Okay, do you want to tell us what's in here? Do you want to take it out? A plastic bag and a used flower packet. What do you think? No? Not worth keeping? Okay, you want to swap it? You sit down? You want to swap it? Okay. So box number three is out. Doesn't want the rubbish. Okay. Which one are we going to go for next?
One.
Number one. Okay. Okay, what is in there, Lion? A tape. A tape from the LEC Sermon Collection Library. Wow. So you have won Martin Reeks Williams preaching through Psalm 97, The Lord Who Reigns. That is a precious, precious thing. Do we have a deal or no deal?
No,
no deal. Oh, oh. Okay. Let's go pop this one away. Okay, which box are we going to go for? Number four. Okay. What have we got in there? A chocolate egg. Okay. Ooh. Is that a bit more enticing for you? Okay. Do we have a deal or no deal?
Deal.
A deal. Are you sure? You don't want to keep number two? It's a lovely box. It's a good number. Could double your losses. You're happy? Okay. All right. Well, how about we'll put this box down. Do you want to show what you could have won? What could have been yours? A box of Smarties. Are you happy with the choice you made? Okay. All right. Good job. We know how to value things, don't we? We know when we have a good deal in front of us and when we don't, most of the time anyway. We know what we think is worthwhile having and keeping. And we know what we don't really care about and what we want to reject. We know when we have a deal and when we don't have a deal. Esau didn't think that God's grace was worth keeping. Esau didn't think that the gift that God gave was worth having. He didn't want to hold on to it. In fact, if you have a Bible with you, have a look down at the very last sentence of our reading. Verse 34, page 24 of chapter 25, it says, Esau despised his birthright. That is a really strong word because it is a really strong thing that he does. He made a deal with his brother. His brother was cooking a meal. Esau was hungry. And he valued that meal more than God's promises. It was a poor deal, wasn't it? A poor deal, not just because it's lentil stew and no meat in it, but a poor deal because he traded God's promises, God's grace, God's free gift for a meal. He rejected God's grace. It's a story about two brothers. Neither of them deserve it, but Jacob wanted what God gave. And Esau despised what God gave. The New Testament tells us the reason, or rather the what we should do with that, and that is don't be like Esau. God gives grace, don't reject it. Flick forward with me to Hebrews chapter 12. That is on page 1213. Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See to it that no one is unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, and found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Yet Esau didn't think God's grace was worth any more than a meal. Kids, hopefully you'll grow up coming along to LEC or going to a church where you are taught about God's promises. But as you grow up, we can think that I've done all these wonderful things, and we can grow used to God's grace. We can get so used to it we don't think it's worth anything anymore. So don't reject it. Don't turn away from it. Or we can think as we grow up that we deserve it, that we do good things for God. Maybe you're growing up in a Christian home. Maybe you are reading the Bible at home. Maybe you're going to interaction. Grown-ups, maybe you think, oh, I've given up this thing, or I've chosen to do this with my life, and so I deserve it. And we think, I'm a good person, actually. I don't really need God's grace. And so we reject it. Or maybe you look at this and you think this is really, really, really unfair. How can God choose one person and not the other? Why does God choose Jacob and not Esau? I've known a few people that really don't like this idea, and so they've walked away from Jesus. Or maybe it's something else that the Bible teaches, and they say, actually, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Friends, God gives grace. Don't reject it. I suspect as Esau grew up that he learned and heard that Jacob had been chosen, that the older would serve the younger. Just as their father Isaac had been chosen. We didn't read it this morning, but Esau had actually lots of uncles. Isaac has lots of brothers and brothers. And once they'd grown up, Abraham gave them gifts and sent them away from Isaac because God gives grace. He chooses how, and he chooses who. And he had promised his blessing. He had promised that his grace would go out to every family of the earth, people from every tribe and tongue and nation. It was open to all. It was available to all, even to Esau. But it would only come through one. It would only come through the promised son. Esau didn't like that. Esau despised that. So Esau rejected that. And instead of reaping the benefits of God's grace, as a member of the family of the promise, he loathed it. He goes against God's ways. He turns his back on it. He rejects it. Did you see that? God is sovereign. He is the one who gives grace in his kindness, gives it to those who don't deserve it. But Esau is still responsible. He does what he wants to do. He's the one who sells his birthright for a meal. He is the one who despises his birthright. And so he's a warning for you and me. God gives, don't reject. God has said his blessing, his grace is given to us, but only comes through one son. Only comes through Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. The distant descendant of Jacob, the son of the promise. It doesn't come through anyone else or anything else. His grace is given despite what we do, and not because of what we do. It is unearned, undeserved. You can't earn it. It is only as we say sorry for our sin and come to him that we receive it. But when we do, we find it to be the most wonderful, lavish, precious, precious gift that he could ever give. God gives grace. Don't reject it. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you that you give us grace through Jesus. Guard us from being like Esau, we ask. Please help us to love Jesus, the Son of the promise, to rejoice in your grace and to be filled with wonder and joy at the promise of your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.